Good morning. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord. Anybody excited about being in God's house? Come on, just for a few moments. Come on and give God a hand clap of praise. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Come on and praise Him. Come on, come on. Come on. Bring me up. Amen. Amen. We serve an awesome God. Serving awesome God. Amen. The one that sits on the circumference of the universe and the earth is His footstool. Isn't that amazing, God? Anybody glad about that? I'm glad that God's sitting in the throne. I'm glad I don't have to worry about who's sitting in the White House because I know who's sitting on the throne. You know, so many people are upset and who's sitting in the White House. I don't care who's sitting in the White House, but I know who ordained who sits in the White House, and that's God. It is God that sets one up and sets one another one down. If you don't believe, you don't read your Bible. Isaiah let us know, in Isaiah 46, let us know it's God that sets one in. God is in control. Man ain't in control. So I don't want you to be around here sad because Democrats are in the office. Amen. Because we know who's sitting on the throne. Amen. What's happening in the world today, the Bible tells us it's going to happen. So the reason why you're upset because you don't read your Bible. I'm not upset. I read my Bible. The Bible said these things must happen before the end comes. God is still in control. Y'all walk around here like God is not in control. Amen. Amen. God knows everything, and He's in control. Sometimes He gives us kings after our own heart because our hearts are wicked. He gives us kings for judgment. Amen. Amen. I don't know why I had to say that, but I just thought I needed to say that. I just feel a little good right now. I'm just falling right now. But I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is doing, and He's in control. I hear a lot of stuff, and I'm very silent on a lot of things. But I hear a lot of Christians are just seem like they're dying in the dump, that they don't. And I'm just like, you must read your Bible. You know, here's the thing is, we said they closed the church. When did they close the church? You can't close the church. They ain't close you. You are the church. Sometimes God had to close His own house because you didn't appreciate the house when you had the house. Amen. 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 I'm just meddling. Amen. Amen. But I'm excited to be here, and I thank God for my friend, Pastor. You got a wonderful pastor, a great man of God, expository preacher. Not only preaches the word, but live the word. But Paul said, "I bring my body under suggestion when I have preached to others, that I myself will not be disqualified." And see, I respect men because of their position, but it's another thing to respect men because of the lifestyle they live. And a lot of times is we are not living what we are preaching, and that's the reason why people don't want come into the kingdom. That's the reason why we have all these gospel gimmicks. See, if you preach the gospel, when you preach the word, and the Bible said if you lift Jesus up, He'll do all the drawing. But see, when you can't lift Jesus up with your life, and guess what? The reason why people are not repenting because they don't see the evidence of the kingdom in your life. They don't want Jesus because you're messy, you're nasty. They don't like you. You complain all the time. You're talking about politics, and vaccinations, and vaccines, and listening to Dr. Fauci. Nobody want to hear all that. I don't want to hear about no mess. But preach the gospel. Amen. He ain't tell you to preach no vaccination. He ain't tell you to preach no mask or not mask and preach Democrat, Republican. He ain't tell you to preach none of that. He told you to preach the gospel. We think that the gospel ain't good enough no more. You thought that a politician is going to save you. A politician can't save you. A politician leads you straight to hell. Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. My wife told me to be good. I said, I'm going to be good, baby. Amen, amen. But I'm excited you have a pastor that loves the Lord. And I thank God for my wife. Wife Amy, she is a counselor at the Crawford County High School. She's been in education now for 25 years. She's only 27 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, praise the Lord. I don't know how to start early. Lord blessed and gifted. Amen. But we have three daughters. I have a 25-year-old. She graduated from Kennesaw University, and she loves the Lord. I'm telling you, my 25-year-old loves the Lord. I'm telling you, now she called me Friday. Thursday was my birthday, And so she called me Friday morning. She called me early, like before 8 o'clock. And she's like, Dad, how you doing? Everything? What you doing for your birthday? Blah, 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 blah. You know, just. And I started wondering, I'm like, what you doing up so early? Where you going? And it just thrilled my heart. She said, Dad, I'm going to a Bible study. I'm like, okay, on Friday, you're 25 years old. Normally, you know, in this day and time, they just coming from the club. You up in the Atlanta area, you know, early in the morning, you're heading to a Bible study. She said, yeah, Dad, I go to a Bible study with some older ladies on the porch. And they sit with us, a couple young girls, and these are older ladies. And she's like, Dad, and we just, you know, she said, I've been there three times, and it's just so amazing. And I said, wow. And she said, Dad, now guess what? They don't look like me. I said, well, praise God, but baby, that's the church. She said, but Daddy, but I feel so awesome. These women pour into us, and they're just so loving, and they're just so sweet. And she was just telling me that, and my heart was just dancing. And I said, man, the gospel still works, doesn't it? You know what I mean? I didn't have to give no hoops and do all this and add all this other stuff to the gospel. Just preach the gospel. My 25-year-old, she's a part of this culture, but she loved the Lord. I'm telling you, she's saved for real. Amen. She ain't just talking it. Amen. She's living it. She's trying to walk. She's excited about God. Amen. Amen. I'm just excited about that. And then my 14-year-old, she's going to the ninth grade. I'm really happy that she's going to ninth grade, because there's a certain lady over there, man. She's fine as I don't know what. I see her, I'm like, woo, boy. I said, you're going to be all right, because you got a fine lady over there, man. Real fine counselor over there. I'm like, dang. I'm like, I'm glad I spent some time. I come there and see you up there. Don't worry about you. You in good hands. You know, for y'all don't know, my wife is the counselor at the school. You know, God didn't catch that. Yeah, they got real quiet. And he gonna say that with his wife. I ain't crazy. I'm married to a black woman. You crazy? You know, we got an hour and 40 minute drive back home. You think I'll be talking about another woman? I ain't crazy. I lost my mind. But I thank God for her. And she's very smart. She's in gifted class. She'll be doing dual enrollment next year. She was at high school last year. But she's very smart. I'm talking, she's smart. She's smart. Book sense, you can't touch a comma sense. I'm gonna leave that baby alone now. But she, now, you know, she. No, okay, I'm gonna leave that alone. Oh, it's online. Oh, Lord, I forgot. Well, she's very smart. I love her. Eight years old. Now, that's a whole story. Y'all pray for me. She 8 years old, and she just like her mama. She act like her mama, walk like her mama. She mess with me. She tell me. She keep me straight. I guess she think she my mama. She always bosses me around, and she make fun of me. She just make fun. She'll find stuff. She real funny. She just the life of it. She just funny. But here's the thing is, now you can't talk about me. Her mama can't talk about me. She get mad. She don't play by the dad. Now, she love her dad. She think her dad is the world's strongest man. She think he, I'm talking about, I'm her hero. I'm talking about, dad can do it. I'm talking about, she think the world of her dad. I'm just telling you that. And I thank God for that. She love me. She'll fall. She still crawl up in my lap and lay her head on me. She just thinks she can do me any kind of way. And then we have a dog. God blessed her with a little Austin doodle, and he just act just like the kid. Leave your toys everywhere. So I'm just saying, you know what I mean? I got to clean up behind him. I'm like, I don't know about this now. You know, go to your room, you know, but he just, I'm just saying, you know, but we dropped all three of them off and decided to come here. So I thank God I have my wife here, and I just thank God for her. And being honest with you, I thank God for her, because God give us what we need, but he also give us what we want. And I thank God he gave me both. I'm just extremely blessed. I'm extremely blessed because, you know, people tell me, say, you know, the outer appearance don't, you know, it's as long as they, you know, they're sweet on the inside. Well, I can't see you inside. I went and left. When I saw her, I was drawn to her inside. Ooh, her inside is so fine. I was drawn to her inside. It was on the outside that got my attention. And after we started talking, her inside was just so beautiful. And then by that time, I was just drunk and alone. Yes, I'm telling you, man, y'all better pray and ask God. Better ask, be specific in what you want. Stop just saying, God, give me a man. God, send you anything. See, you a little short round, something. I'll tell you, tell the Lord, you know I can't have that. You know what I like, Lord. You know, if I had to stay single for the rest of my life, I'd rather do it, Lord. So, you know what I mean? Praise God. Bless the Lord. Oh, man. Let me see how much trouble I can get into. Let's turn it to the word of the Lord. Let's turn to your book, to Malachi chapter 3. In verse 6, amen. I make you laugh right now because you're going to be mad by the time I leave. Just remember all them jokes, you get happy right now. A lot of times with this happening, the end result ain't going to be good. Amen, amen. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. If you have it, say amen. If you don't, say Sunday school. Amen. Okay. You know, I mean, the Malachi is the ending of the Old Testament. It's the last book in the Old Testament. Now, you know, if not, just use your phone. You know, y'all, you know, really, nobody really carries paper Bibles anymore, do they? Everybody got tablets and stuff. I still like to have, I don't know, I still like books. I can't read book off a tablet and stuff. I got to have something I like to write and mark it up and stuff like that. So that's just me. Amen. But the Bible said, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. I want to use for a subject this morning, the immutability of God. The immutability of God. Father God, I ask you to strengthen me one more time. Use me, oh God. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Do what only you can do. So now, God, I stretch my wings like an eagle and wait for the move of your Spirit to lead and guide. So, Lord, have your way in this place. Do what only you can do. Save, convict hearts of sin. Turn hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Malachi was written as a dialogue between God and his people. Malachi means messenger of God. He was a messenger. During the time of Persia, was in control by the time that he wrote it, probably during the time when Ezra, when they went back to build the temple, the house of God, and also when Nehemiah went to build the wall, when this book probably was written. Because the reason why I know, because the Persia was in control, because during that time they had governors. They didn't have governors during the reign of the Babylonian time, but it was during the Persian time that they had governors. And so this was toward the end of the Old Testament. This is the last book to make the canon of the Old Testament. God is dialoguing with his people. It is the prophecy of the Messiah. John the Baptist is going to come, the Messiah. That it is the end of so much the priesthood. Giving sacrifice. That's the reason why you don't see that in the New Testament. You don't see an end, but yet and still we see that also that God said he's going to send Elijah, the spirit of Elijah, which we know was John the Baptist, who turned the hearts of the father to sons and the sons to the father, turn them back toward God. During this time, the children of Judah, now they're back in their land, under the Persian, but yet and still they were having sacrifice, but they was offering God anything. They were bringing God lambs that were spotted. or they had broken legs, or they just offered God anything and just said, just any dab would do you. And so we still do that today. In our churches today, we say we love God, but yet and still, our lifestyle is not an example of that. Now, we don't have to bring in lambs, but we do have to live a life that is pleasing to God. And so our life is a sacrifice that we make unto God. God, I love you. This is the reason why I live this kind of way. Because you are holy, I am holy. Because when King Uzziah saw the Lord, when Isaiah saw the Lord, when King Uzziah died, he saw him high and lifted up. And when the Bible says his train filled the temple, and so he saw the holiness of God. And when he saw the holiness of God, the Bible said he looked within and he began to look within himself. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And so he began to confess. And then he looked outward. And then he said, I live in a land of people with unclean lips. And see, he had to look upward, then to look inward, then look outward. And then he realized God is holy. I want to live something. I want to live so God is holy. He's not like it. That word holy in the Greek is kadesh, meaning not like you. So the Bible said the angels, the seraphims and the cherubim go around his throne. And all through the time they were flying around his throne, through centuries they've been flying around his throne. And everything they say is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so when they was going around, it's as though God was flashing himself, and they saw a different essence of God that they didn't see the day before. And he said, he is holy. He's different. He's different. He's different. Every problem that I have, he doesn't have. You got money problem, but he on the cattle on 1,000 hill. You sick, but he had healing in his wings. He's different. He's holy. He's not like me. Oh, God, and the angel said he's holy. He's not like us. And so, and we see that, and now he's talking to the priest. In chapter 2, he talked to the priest, and he said, because you caused my people to stumble. See, it's not 12 tribes of Israel. There's 13 tribes of Israel. The Levites could not be counted because they was a tithe unto God. So I know when you thought, when I came to the book of Malachi, you thought I was going to talk about money, didn't you? You can say, oh, he's going to talk about money. He wanted these preachers to come here and try to raise it off. And I ain't come here and try to get no money out of your pocket. Because the book of Malachi got more to say than about your dollar. But there is a danger for contaminated worship. There's danger for bringing God contaminated worship. You got to make sure your life and your heart is pure. And when we come before God, I'm giving him my best. That's the reason why I never understood in the old days. They would, anytime you don't wore out your couch, you want to go donate it to the church. Nobody wants your worn out stuff. Stop bringing your stuff up. And we don't want that stuff. We want God to give God something new. Amen. Amen. You don't want nothing worn out and then be sitting in your house. Amen. What do you think the church wants your worn out stuff of? Amen. You say amen. You know what I mean? Unless that's just you, you know what I mean? Then just say, ouch. Truth is true, you know? But what I'm just saying is we got to give God our best, giving her our time, our service, to serve God, amen? We got to serve God. You know, the pastor shouldn't have to, it's only 20% do all the work of the church, 20% give. And then soon y'all do something right, I'm talking about, we did this, you ain't do nothing, you ain't help at all. Amen? Well, I guess everybody, you know what I mean? Amen. So, amen, I got one amen by there. Somebody heard one. Got to preach that. And so then they began to do this, and then God began to tell them, and he said, you are cursed because of this. And then he comes down in chapter 3, in our famous verse, and he asks the question, will a man rob God? Yeah, they'll rob God and robbed you too. I live in Macon. They robbed you every day up there, boy. Shoot, he's joking. But, you know, the question is, the truth of the matter is, how can you rob God when he owns everything? You can't rob God. Where you going to take it? I'm robbing God. Where you going to run and hide it at? He owns everything. I'm serious. How can you rob God? So God wasn't talking about in the essence of you taking something from me. But he's robbing me with the opportunity to want to do something for you. He said, not only are you robbing me, but you're robbing the nation. How much the world is suffering today because you are not in your rightful position, because you are robbing God of the opportunity to want to give you something. Just like my kids. If there are some things I want to do for my kids, but sometimes I can't do it because they rob me the opportunity because they won't do right. Not my girl, they do right, I can give it to them. So, but what I'm just saying is God is not going to do that. You rob him of opportunity. That's the reason why the Bible said, eyes have not heard, ears have not heard, nor preceded in the hearts of things that God has prepared for, but they have been revealed to us by his Spirit. See, when you get serious about the Word of God, again, into the place of studying the Word, you ain't sleeping at all until you start reading the Word. Soon you start reading the Word, that little sleep little monkey just get on your back and just be playing with your eyes. In the beginning, it was... So when you get serious about having a prayer life, when you get real serious about the prayer life, you'll start saying, nah, lay me down to sleep, pray to the Lord. Oh, Lord. Some of you still saying the same prayers you said 20 years ago. I'm saying, but once you get serious about the Word of God, you see what I'm saying? It begin to change your life. And so once you get into that, God begin to open you up. See, when you come into the storehouse, God going to open you up. He's going to pour you out. There are some things that he already said about you. But here it is. God ain't making it your life as you go. God ain't up in heaven saying, oh, let me write this in. No. The Bible said we've been chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So that means I've been chosen in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. That means my life is already written out. I'm just walking out what he's written out. And so that's the reason why I don't know where to go. That's the reason why God gave us a GPS, God, perfect spirit, lives on the inside of us to lead us and guide us into the direction that we need to go. Y'all can say amen. I'm doing some good preaching. I think I'm going to give myself an offering on that one. Man, if you don't, shoot. I thought I did good right there. That made me happy. And so now we come down to verse 6. We come to verse 6. Everything is changing. Things are going to change. And here it is. God wants to remind them, I know the world is changing. Everything is changing. But there's something that is stable. For I am the Lord God. I change not. Things are changing. We see today. You know, everything is changing. Man, we are messed up now because Dr. Foster, he changed every week. he be changing every week. CDC changed every week. I'm talking about he changed. I'm talking about they changed more than my white chain clothes. I'm telling you, man. Everything is changing. You know, do this, do that. Everything's changing. And so in a time like this, thank God that we got a God that is stable. He said, for I am the Lord. See, right there it said, I am Lord. He is self-sufficient, all sufficient. He is the I am. That's the reason why when Moses said, when I go before Pharaoh, who shall I tell who sent me? He said, I am that I am. I'm everything you need me to be. I'm water when you're thirsty. I'm bread when you're hungry. I'm your healer. I'm your deliverer. I'm wherever you need me to be. See, truth of the matter, we serve a no-name God because every name of God only is his attribute of who he is. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's just what? He's our provider. But he's more than a provider. He's everything that I need. He's I am. I am cover everything. I am that I think that I am. Amen. He's all sufficient. He's the one that spoke the world into existence. He stepped out on nothing and created everything. He's the CEO of the universe. You can't vote him in and you surely can't vote him out. And guess what? Ain't no fraud tampering with that election because you can't elect him, baby. He's God. He's the CEO of the universe. He sits on the circumference of the universe, and the earth is his footstool. But you can't contain, the world cannot contain it. He resides in his heart. He's God, baby. He's God with you, and he's God without you. He God if you praise him. God don't suffer from low self-esteem. Oh, if they don't praise me, I don't know I'm God. He's God with you. He's God without you. He's God if you praise him. He's God if you don't praise him. You God if you're mad at him. He's God. Don't believe that foolishness that Oprah said that we make him God. God is a female, our own imagination. You can go to hell right there with her. He's God. He never, well, there was never a time of his beginning. He's God. He knows everything. He's not that he knows everything. He's God. When it means that he's all sufficient, that means that he has all knowledge. He never without knowledge. He's never without wisdom. He's all wisdom. Think about that. God ain't up there just making up stuff. Oh, he created Adam, created earth, put Adam in the garden, and then Adam ate of that fruit, and he was like, oh, myself, I did not know he was going to do that. Oh, I guess I got to play something else. No, the Bible said this, before the foundation of the world, the lamb was already slain. Let me tell you something, Jesus had already planned to come and die on the cross. Before the foundation of the world, that's what the book of Revelation tell you. You got to read your Bible. That's the reason why the Bible said we love John 3:16. For God so loved. Now, I'm not really smart. I'm not that educated. But I think ED means past tense, right, baby? Love means past tense. He said, for God so loved the world. So that before God ever created the world, he had already chosen me. He fell in love with me. Don't get mad with me, he told me. He picked me, he selected me, and elected me before the foundation of the world. Don't forget me. Don't get mad at me. I'm just a little reformed. He picked me. I was dead. I was dead to sin, and he awakened me. Made me alive. Picked me, selected me, predestined me, foreknew me, fell in love with me, made me. I'm talking about that's amazing, ain't it? Let me tell you, every problem that God had, he knew I was going to have it, but he still loved me. Whoa. Boy, that's good news. That's good news today. He's God. He's immutable. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. We could take that to the bank. He doesn't change. He stands on his word. He never making things up. He never without any knowledge. See, if he had to make stuff up, that means that he's without something. That means that he's not all sufficient. Isn't that good news? Well, so when things in your life is out of control, he's still in control. And the good thing is God gives the solution before there's a problem. See, the lamb was slain before Adam sinned. So he gives the solution. So the solution is older than the problem. That's the kind of God I serve. That's the reason why the Bible said in Romans 5:8, but he demonstrated his love toward me while I was yet a sinner. Christ died for me. So guess what? The Old Testament saints, they had to look to the cross. We look back at the cross. But guess what? God never changed his mind how he was going to save me. So that means that when you understand the attribute, God has touched every attribute of God. That he doesn't change. I mean, his love doesn't change. Isn't that good news? Didn't that God said this? That God said, I'm going to behave a certain way towards you. For God so loved the world. So that word love, and we know in the Greek there's different essence of love, levels of love, a friendly love, a love a man have between his wife, a love have with his children. But he's talking about agape love. That's a behavioral love. That's not an emotional love, because God cannot move by your emotion. He's not moved by emotion. It's a behavioral. God said he's going to behave a certain way toward me. He loved me, but that's the only aspect that we preach. We all love to preach the love of God. But guess what? We got to wait a minute. There's another attribute, the wrath of God. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change. No, sir. The wrath of God. Mm-hmm. The righteousness of God doesn't change. The holiness of God doesn't change. And guess what? That because he is holy, because he's righteous, because he's love, because he's a wrath of God, and the just of God never change. God is just. See, whatever thing God, see, we look and say God is unfair. No, baby, God is, God, you know what? You don't want God to be fair with you. See, that ain't one of the attributes of God, because if God is fair with us, all of us be a hell. You better thank God he's gracious and merciful. That's the reason why I'm right saying his mercy is renewed every morning. Why? Because I messed up yesterday and I got new mercy today. But that don't give me a license to go out and sin, though. Want to know why? Because, you know what? I love him because he first loved me. So my response to him is, I live right. Amen? Amen. I'm going to get on today. I'm moving on. Y'all mad at me now. I wish I was back at the first crowd. No, I was just messing with you. But he said, I am the Lord, and I change not. I'm immutable. He doesn't change. The Bible said in Numbers 23 and 19, God said, the writer said, God is not man that he should lie,
right.
Neither the son of man that he should repent. God ain't got to repent for nothing. You said, no, he didn't. Well, he repented that he made man. In Genesis, no, he didn't. God, see, the word repent. See, you got to understand, we're trying to explain to God who is unexplainable. See, so the word was written for you to understand. So that you didn't understand that God didn't repent. He knew what he was doing. And see what it is, God is there waiting for man to respond to a certain way, and he's going to respond to it. He already planned it out. He know what's going to happen. He know what you're going to do. Nothing you do take God by surprise.
Right.
Nothing that happened in this world take God by surprise.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? Because he's immutable. That's good news. So whatever going on in your life, so what is out of control, he's in control. He knows about it. And then the truth of the matter is, he allowed it to happen. Ooh. Oh, the devil. The devil did this to him. The devil. And the devil like, I ain't do nothing to you. We blaming the devil on a lot of stuff. And who the truth of the matter, you got to blame God. The reason why, because you've been taught wrong theology. You've been because you going back to Sunday school, you're talking about, yeah, that was a big fight in heaven. God fought with the devil and God kicked him out. No, he didn't. Where you get that foolishness from? Let me tell you something about the devil. The devil ain't running and doing what he want to do. He only doing what God allows him to do. The devil ain't no more than a pit bull on God's choke chain. And when he says sit, he'll say, yes, sir. I just like my dog. When I tell him sit, he look at me like, yes, sir. I said, now you go ahead. Now, he does that to me, but when my kids tell him sit, he's like, oh, you ain't no my child. I do what I want to do. But guess what? He sit because when I stand there, he knows I have the authority. So what I'm telling you, the devil ain't out there just doing what he want to do. And see, God allows things to happen in your life. When God allows trials to come in your life, he's doing it for testing. The devil do it for temptation. Because guess what? A faith that has not been tested is not a faith that can be trusted. You can't go to the next level in grade unless you take a test. You don't know what you know until you've been tested. So you've been taught this wrong, this bad theology from the word of faith. I just speak a word. Who told you that God never promised you a life of happiness a life there with no problems? Where you get that wrong theology from? Jesus said, in this life, you shall. Wait a minute. Jesus said, in this life, you shall have what? Troubles, tribulation. He said, shall. You know what that is? That's a promise. And then in the book, as he said, men is through much affliction shall some enter into the kingdom. You're going to have to go through some things. The Bible said it rained on the just and the unjust. When COVID hit, it didn't just take out the sinners, it took out those that the believers too. But guess what? But when they died, COVID didn't take them out. It's just a vehicle that God used to get them back to him. So you got to know your Bible. So you got to have faith when you got to deal with death. That's the only way you can deal with death as a Christian. Cancer didn't take my mama out. It's just a vehicle that God used. See, some point or another, God's going to have to stop healing you. He's going to have to stop delivering you. He's going to have to stop providing for you. Because if he don't, guess what? If he doesn't, you are never going to die. The only way you'll get back to heaven and get back to God, you got to die. And that's appointed for man wants to die. And after death, there's judgment. You got an appointment. I got an appointment. And some people say, well, his days were short. No, it's not. It's determined to God. He had a long life. I don't care if he died at 12. That was a long life for him because that's what God had allowed for him. Death is not the enemy coming and taking what rightfully belongs to God. Death is a vehicle to let us know they have served that purpose. Because at the cross, Jesus destroyed the work of death, hell, and grave. Oh, death, where is that victory? Oh, grave. Death, where did that stay? Oh, grave, where is that victory? Death was swallowed up. If it's at the cross. So death is a vehicle to let us know we served our purpose. It's time to return to him. Everybody wanted to go to heaven, but nobody wanted to die. God does everything for his own glory and his own pleasure. For his good pleasure. Y'all better go back and read your Bible. In the early church, they were thrown to lions. There was at stake, and the church grew. Now, we got COVID, and now we don't even want to come to church now.
Can't go to church because, you know, COVID right now. I'm scared to go to church right now.
And I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Hey, I'm not, if you need to protect yourself, do all that, that's fine. But I see you at Walmart and everywhere else. So you out there viewing, thank you for viewing today, but that's something to get to church, because you're going to Walmart and everything, you ain't worrying about no COVID, you ain't worrying about nothing else. You're going to basketball game, football game, and everything else, but here it is, come to the house. I can't come to the house of God because of COVID. No, you can't come to the house because you're lazy, you want to sit there on Sunday morning, you want to have bedside Baptist at Sunday morning. Get up and come to the house of God and worship. We need fellowship one with another. Now, if you're sick, you keep your tail home, now. Now, don't come here, you're sick. Now, you ain't go home. Don't come. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, I'm just being honest. Everything has changed, but he's immutable. He's immutable. I got to go. I know I'm taking y'all long, keeping you long. He's immutable in his essence. That means that God, essence never changed. He's God. God doesn't have a body. He's a spirit. He doesn't have a body. So y'all start listening to Benny Hinn talking about he went to heaven and saw God here on some brown shoes. God ain't got no feet. When the Bible talk about the hand of God, the backside of God, it just get for us to understand. God doesn't have a body. Now the second person of the Trinity, which is Jesus, that's where in the Bible you see the angel of the Lord. And so Jesus is the precarnate Christ. He's of the Godhead. But God doesn't have a body. That's the reason why in the book of Exodus, when Moses wanted to see something, God, let me see your glory. God said, you can't see me, but I hide you in the cleft of the rock. And when my glory and you see my backside. See, God didn't have a backside. See, when he saw the backside of God, that's how he got to write the Genesis in the first person. That's the reason why he could write the Genesis, the first five books, written by Moses. You know, Moses wrote his own obituary. Go and read. He said, and Moses died. I'm like, wow, man, that is powerful. That's just messed up. He wrote his own obituary. Amen. God never changed. He's never changed in his essence. He's a spirit. He's in control. He's immutable in his attributes. See, the immutability of God, that he doesn't change, is like my thumb touching every last one of my fingers. See, the immutability of God touches every attribute of God. It doesn't change in anything. God's will doesn't change. He ain't changing in his will. He's immutable according to his will. What God will, it will happen. He's in control. He doesn't change. He doesn't change in that. He's immutable in his conscience. He's immutable in his place. You can't dethrone him. You can't dethrone He's immutable. And he's immutable in his faithfulness. He's faithful to forgive us for sin. He's faithful to discipline us to whom he loved. He's faithful to support in our suffering. He's faithful to keep his promise according to his principle of his word. He's faithful to answer prayer. God is faithful. I'm telling you something. God is not changing. We are changing. Our church has changed. We have changed in our church. Our church has become sinners friendly and not Holy Spirit conducive. Our churches are designed to get you here, but they're not designed to get him here. If you don't show up next Sunday, that don't mean nothing. But he doesn't show up, salvation can't take place, healing can't take place, deliverance can't take place. So now we got to change our service. Now churches got to begin to not look like churches anymore. So now we got to make our churches look like clubs and stages now. Why? Because you don't want to change. You saying that you're saved, but yet it's still on Saturday you at the clubs at night. So you want to come to church and you want a church that look like what you used to. Somebody asked me to do a funeral. Talking about, you know, I'm like, where do you go to church? He didn't go to church. You want me to go to the funeral? Go to where he need to go. Go to back to the club where he spend his time, spend his money, and go in there and let them DJ part him and send him on. They say, but Ray, as you mean? I said, I mean? Oh, he was a good fellow. No, he wasn't. He's the only way to hell right now. He's burning. Die without Christ. I'm sorry. That's the truth of the matter. That's still a real hell. You say you insensitive. I am very sensitive. You say you unloving. I am loving. You can't live without Christ and think you're going to die in Christ. Everybody, social media, everybody resting in peace. Rest in peace. No, you ain't resting in peace. If you ain't dying in peace, you ain't resting in peace. I'm being honest, that's still a place called hell. Hell is still hot, and they ain't put no bow tie on the devil either. It doesn't change. The gospel doesn't change. And the gospel doesn't need to be mixed with anything. And if you mix it with anything, it's not the pure adulterated gospel. Well, we got to get the young people. The gospel was good enough for you. When you gave your life to the Lord, you was young, right? Was it good enough for you? What did you got? You got the gospel, didn't you? How many of you came to the Lord when you was young? Did you come through a nightclub? Did you come through a skit? You came through what? The preacher stood up and preached until conviction got down in your business. You preached until you came to the altar and said, Lord, I yield, I yield. Now we're preaching then that you can have Christ in the club. So people looking for loopholes. See how I can live close to hell and still make it to heaven. We're the only people that don't want to look like what we say we are. We dress like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, then say we Christian. Christian means Christ-like. So now we got Christianity without Christ. See, when you're saved and you're born again, you know what I mean? You learn something. You got to live right. You got to live holy. Nobody want to be different anymore. The word holy means being to be sanctified, being separated, to be different. We don't want to be different anymore. We want to look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world. Want to dress like the world. You come to church as you are, but you don't stay as you are. Now, I'm not talking about clothes, but there's some things you shouldn't, you know what I mean? I shouldn't have to come to church and cover my eyes. And you say you love God. You little Jezebel spirit. I'm just being honest. God changes you from the inside out. I got a 25-year-old daughter who loves the Lord. And you know what she got? The pure Dutch Ready Gospel. The truth. His word is not going to change for you. God is not going to change. The Bible said, God said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not a jot or a tittle pass away from my word. God said, I would magnify my word above my own name. That's a standard. That's the reason why Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 talks about the two roads. Not only is the way, the door is narrow, but the way is straight. You got to live something. You talking about works. I ain't talking about works for salvation, but there's ought to be a work after you've been saved. If the Holy Spirit resides in you, he's going to teach you how to not be mean. Then you're talking about what folks don't want to come to church. They don't want to come to church because of you. You're mean. You're nasty. You're low down. They don't want to come to work. You're lazy at work. Do less as possible. It's a time that you want to hire a Christian. That means that they had good morals. They're going to work hard. Now, people talking about they're a Christian. Let me tell you, I told my friend. I said, here it is. I've never been burnt by so many people that call themselves Christian. I told him, I said, next time somebody say they're a Christian, I'm going to just slap them. See, they'll turn the other cheek. You know, I don't even want to do business with Christians sometimes. Because they don't want to do business. You know what I mean? Because you say you're a Christian. You ought to be a Christian in every aspect of your life, the way you live. How I walk. You can't sit here and listen to all this worldly music and stuff like this and think you're going to live holy. And some of y'all have nerve to be blasting in the car on the way up to the church. But I remember the time you were afraid to come to the church like that. I'm just saying, man, I remember the time you couldn't get a drunk to come into the church. Like, oh, I ain't going to go play with God now. Oh, no, I ain't going to play with God now. I'm going to come when I get right. But now, man, we our churches have changed. We don't have the power that we used to have. I remember the time, man, let me tell you something. I've been in place. Man, I've seen people been healed. I've seen people that come to church drunk, got sober, got saved. Leave sober. Shoot. Somebody casting out demons. You can't cast out a cold now in your church. Ain't got no power. But God's word doesn't change. He stand on the word. He's immutable. I know it's tight, but it's right. Get mad at me if you want to. Only thing to do is get mad at the word. That reason why God made me 285 pounds. I've been over 600 pounds. I ain't scared of nobody in the church. We have to get back to the word of God and stand on that which is unmovable. Stable is the word of God. But we've been taught this relativism. Well, I do what? Well, that's the way you interpret. There ain't no one interpretation of this Bible. There are no gray areas. What God said 10,000 years ago, he's still saying it today. God didn't change. I don't care. You see, we know that our churches have changed because we had a president that was so excited. Oh, we had a remarkable time in history at one point. That same day, we had a remarkable time in history. We have passed the gay marriage. And then later on that evening, he was at a church at some eulogy singing Amazing Grace. That couldn't sing. He shouldn't even be able to sing. Now, because of the homosexual movement, the LGBTQ, now you got churches that still want to tell you that homosexual is a sin. We're scared that we're going to be shut down. Not just homosexual. I'm just talking about sin, period. We love to talk about homosexual, but you can't talk about, you know what I mean? You can't be the minister of music. I ain't talking about you, sir. And you ain't be the minister of music and trying to sleep with everybody in the choir. You can't be up here on the platform on Sunday and you just in the club last night talking about, you know, the presence of the Lord here. The presence of the Lord ain't here nothing. got to stop playing these games, man, and get back to holiness, bro. That's the reason why, you know what's wrong with our society now? The walls are down. Why? Because the church is not stable and sincere on what they believe and what we stand on. A Muslim, there ain't no such thing as secret sensitive Muslim. You know that? You know a Muslim, they doctrine never change. I don't care where you go, a Muslim is a Muslim. Now a Christian, that's a whole nother story. We the only thing that don't want to look like who we are. But we got to be stable according to the word of God. Where are you at today? Are you standing on this word? The truth of the matter is, God is a God of wrath. He's immutable. And if you die in your sins, you're going to go down and go to hell. You can't just be sleeping around and come to church and say, praise the Lord, and you're just sleeping around and stuff and then go back home. No conviction. That's your lifestyle.
Well, brother, you judge.
I ain't judging. God's word says this. The number one scripture used to be John 3:16. Now the number one scripture is Matthew 7:1. Judge not that you be not judged.
Well, the Bible says don't judge.
The Bible is telling us that when we judge, make sure we judge according to the word. I can't judge your motive nor intent, but I can judge according to the word. That's the reason why he said a tree is known by its fruit. You know the reason why you want to say, I don't judge, bro. It's because you don't want to have to deal with it. Right is right and wrong is wrong. It's not me judging you. It's the word of God. I'm going to tell you the truth. Because too many people are dying and going to hell through the church. Saying that God has changed. God ain't changed. God is immutable. He stands. What he said, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The gospel still works, but we don't change. But I got good news. Here's good news here. In that same verse, let's put it back up. I got some good news. You can shout about this. Now, you know, I mean, I you know, y'all, amens don't cut off. And baby, go on ahead and start a car. We're going to have to run up out of here. Is the officer still out there? I might need an escort. Here's the good news. I'm going to make you shout now. This is a shout. And if you ain't going to shout no other time, you better shout now. This is the only lead way you're going to get. Here it is. For I am the Lord. I do not change. Here's what we shout about. Therefore, you are not consumed, yeah. O sons of Jacob. You know why I shout about that? Just like the children of Judah, they ain't do everything right, but he said, the reason why you not consumed is because of my immutability. I don't change. The reason why you're not consumed is because not because you've done everything right. The reason why you're not consumed because of my righteousness, my love, and my holiness. Isn't that good news? Because the Bible said in Romans 8:1, therefore now there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So sometimes I fall, but when I fall, he don't throw me away. I'm not consumed because he's immutable. He picked me. He selected me. He elected me before the foundation of the world. He knew everything I was going to do, but he still loved me. That's good news. I don't always do what is right, but he loves me. Now, he judges me. I get whoopings, but he loves me. The mere fact I know I'm saved is because my relationship with sin now. When I get out of line, he spanks me. Let me know that he loves me. Thank you, God, for spanking me. Thank you, God, for getting me right. Thank you for loving me. See, loving you is telling you the truth. See, I'm glad. That's what I'm excited about. He loves me. I'm not consumed. Because some of you would have already put me in hell. Especially after I just talked about y'all. me and put me in hell. But you're not consumed with sons of Jacob because of my immutability. He loved me. That's why David come in Psalm 22 and said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? I cried all day and you didn't answer me. I cried in the night season and you didn't answer me. No, David was suffering from depression. David was dealing with the abandonment of family members, dealing with the abandonment of his very best friend, Ahithophel, had turned against him. His counselor turned against him, left him, sided with his son. And David said, now, the very thing I called for, you're no longer to be found. He felt like God has abandoned him. And David said, I can deal with the abandonment of family member. I can deal with the abandonment of friend. But how can I deal with the abandonment of a God that promised he'll never leave me nor forsake me? David said, but you are holy. But David realized Peter don't move God, but praise does. God is still sending the word. He's immutable. He loves you. So when we fall down, we repent. James tells us, 1 John tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's good news. He don't throw us away. Why? Because according to Ephesians 1 and verse 3 and 4, he chose you before the foundation of the world in Christ Jesus. Don't get mad with me because he elected me. Don't get mad with me because he chose me. I didn't choose him, but he chose me. I'm elected and selected from the foundation of the world. He predestined me. He awakened me. He the one made me alive, dead in the sin. And he awakened me. He loves me. But the good news is, he loves you tonight. And today, because he's immutable, we can shout about the fact that he's stable. But we also shout about the fact is this. Here it is, if he's stable, and he's a God of wrath. There's a danger, as Jonathan Edwards said, to fall into the hands of an angry God. Because the Bible says he's angry with the sinner. And those that committed their sin. I'm telling you this now. There's hope for you. Make sure, don't leave here today without making sure that you're on your way to heaven. Jesus said that not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into my kingdom, but he that does the will of my Father. He's still standing. It's not going to change. Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven or are you on your way to hell? No preacher can put you in the heaven. I just went to a funeral. I had to go to a funeral Saturday. It's sad, man. I don't know how people deal with death for unbelievers. If you lay down right, you'll get up right. You can't live without Christ and think you can die in Christ. And let me tell you something. You die outside of Christ, ain't no resting in peace. When you in hell, you will lift up your eyes, separated from a holy God. So the cross is the picture that God took, that Jesus took the wrath of God. God's wrath was poured on Jesus at the cross that we may experience his love. See, the cross, the gospel is not to get you to heaven so much. It's to save your soul and put us in right standing with God. So when Jesus died on the cross, it gave us right standing with God. When we could not reach God, he reached down to us. So the Son of God became the Son of Man that the sons of men might become the sons of God.